Today is Tuesday, November 3rd, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Steve Miller in Washington. It's election day in the United States, but it's doubtful a clear winner will emerge tonight after the polls close.
The biggest reason we may not know a winner tonight is because of the massive amount of mail-in voting that happened over the last 6 weeks.
Plus, what if no one concedes?
A prolonged dispute could be very damaging for confidence in our democracy.
We'll have your first look at the 2020 U.S. general election next. A grueling, bitterly fought U.S. presidential campaign comes to a close today. Well, kind of. In years past, when Election Day arrived in the United States, once the polls closed, election watchers gathered exit polls and watched the vote counts come in across the country. This year is different, not only because of the pandemic, but because many Americans have voted early, often by mail-in ballots. Now, to explain how VOA will be monitoring the election and calling states for each candidate, I spoke via Microsoft Teams to VOA senior executive producer Steve Reddish.
The biggest reason we may not know a winner tonight is because of the massive amount of mail-in voting that happened over the last 6 weeks. It started in the middle of September when the first states were able to send in mail-in ballots. So the early voting is now about 70% of what it was in 2016, and much of that is mail-in votes to states that haven't had the experience in dealing with such massive amounts of counting absentee ballots. The states that do have the best track record and have been doing it the most are actually two battleground states, North Carolina and Florida. They count their absentee ballots on the day, on election day. They've started already counting the ballots. And by the time the polls close in each of those states, they'll be sending out word about not just today's vote, the people who walk up and vote today, but all of those people who have voted in the past. There are a few states that just don't deal with this very well. And actually three of them, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, are all key states for both President Trump and Joe Biden to win. So those three states may not have a final count for about maybe a day, maybe 2 days. So they'll be slow in counting. That said, there may be a winner declared tonight, depending on how other states count their absentee ballots.
Now, speaking of that, people who have watched previous U.S. elections may be familiar with TV broadcasts with big U.S. electorate maps on the screen and broadcast journalists calling elections for certain states for certain candidates. What's the process going to be for this election?
VOA does not have the capability of going into various different states and doing the kind of data crunching that is necessary to come up with those projections. So we're relying on the Associated Press and Reuters, both of whom are doing it differently. The Associated Press is crunching their own numbers and getting information in from from all of the states as far as their vote count. And they have done some exit polling. They have gone out and polled some people both today and in the weeks prior for people who have sent in absentee ballots and voted early. Reuters is subscribing to another service that does pretty much the same thing. They get the raw vote in. They have done exit polling with a percentage of voters in key places in each state to be able to try and get a better idea of the picture of today's voting. All of that said, all of the organizations are going to be very conservative, and they're going to be waiting until they actually get raw vote in before making many of the calls, specifically the calls in the states that are key, like Florida, like North Carolina, like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and Arizona. Those states will be methodically counting, and the networks will be waiting until they get a lot of raw vote in before making a decision that one candidate just can't get enough votes to beat the other candidate.
That was VOA senior executive producer Steve Reddish. Now, for all the latest election news, 24 hours a day, listen to the top of the hour newscast on your local VOA affiliate or at voanews.com. You may have heard myself and others also mention the Electoral College when discussing this year's election. It's a voting system that goes back to the country's early days as a nation, as my VOA colleagues Sawa Jafari and Scott Stearns explain.
Hello, everyone. Today we are exploring one of the peculiarities of the American electoral process, the Electoral College. Americans who go to the polls on Election Day don't actually select the president. They are technically voting for electors who meet in their respective states and vote for the president themselves. Here's how it works.
America's founding fathers established the Electoral College because they believed that many voters in the 1780s were not informed enough about the candidates to make wise choices. This was a compromise between having Congress choose the president and having what political leaders feared would be an uninformed popular vote. Electors chosen by voters in each state meet in December to formally elect the president and vice president. Those state votes are counted by Congress in January, with each state and Washington, D.C. awarded a share of the electoral votes based on their proportion of the total population. There are 538 electoral votes in total, so a candidate must get 270 of those to win election. In most states, the candidate who wins the popular vote in that state gets all of the state's electoral votes. But there are some states that divide their electoral votes based on how well candidates perform. Under the Electoral College system, it is possible to lose the nationwide popular vote and still be elected president. In the year 2000, voting in Florida was so close that ballots were recounted several times before the election landed at the U.S. Supreme Court, where George W. Bush was declared the overall winner because of Florida's 25 electoral votes, not because of the popular vote. There have been calls to change the system, but that would require a constitutional amendment.
Those are my VOA colleagues Sawa Jafari and Scott Stearns. Concession speeches from defeated political rivals have traditionally played a key role in legitimizing American democracy. But as Brian Patton reports, there may not be one election night or soon after if the U.S. presidential election results are close.
For 36 days after the 2000 presidential election, in which the margin of victory came down to a few hundred votes in the key state of Florida, Democratic candidate Al Gore and Republican rival George W. Bush engaged in legal disputes over the ballot count. But after a conservative majority on the Supreme Court sided with the Bush campaign, Gore conceded the race and pledged to support the incoming President Bush.
And tonight, for the sake of our unity as a people and the strength of our democracy, I offer my concession.
On election night in 2016, Democrat Hillary Clinton struck a similar unifying tone in congratulating Republican Donald Trump on his upset presidential victory.
We must accept this result and then look to the future. Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and the chance to lead.
Both Gore and Clinton lost in the official Electoral College system designed to give rural states added representation despite winning the national popular vote. This year, Clinton advised Democratic candidate Joe Biden not to concede under any circumstances, as she expects the Trump campaign to contest mail-in or absentee ballots that surveys indicate are being cast by significantly more Democrats than Republicans. At the first presidential debate, Biden said he would accept the election outcome, but only after all the votes are counted. That could take some time.
And in terms of whether or not when the votes are counted and they're all counted, that will be accepted. If I win, that will be accepted. If I lose, that'll be accepted.
Trump, who is trailing in presidential opinion polls, has repeatedly said he may not accept the election results if Biden is deemed the winner, citing unverified claims of massive mail-in voting fraud and abuse.
They found some with the name Trump, just happened to have the name Trump just the other day in a waste paper basket. They're being sent all over the place. They sent two in a Democrat area. They sent out 1,000 ballots. Everybody got two ballots. This is going to be a fraud like you've never seen.
Analysts worry that a refusal by the losing candidate to accept the results and call upon supporters to do the same could weaken public faith in democracy.
A prolonged dispute could be very damaging for confidence in our democracy and the legitimacy of the next president.
With partisan tensions so high this year, both sides also fear a bitterly contested election could spark political violence from right-wing extremists and radical leftists. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
Both President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden say they have clear pathways to the White House. And to learn what the campaigns are up to this election day, I spoke with White House correspondent Patsy Wittikuswara, who's been covering both campaigns.
Well, this morning, Joe Biden did a quick service and a visit to the family plot at the church cemetery where his son, daughters, and first wife is buried. And then he traveled to Pennsylvania. This is a key battleground state, of course. He's there to make a last-minute pitch to get out the vote. And he's visiting two places, his boyhood home in Scranton and also in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, the president this morning is visiting the Republican National Campaign headquarters in Arlington, Virginia, not too far from the White House. And so those are really just the things that the two candidates are doing, last minute pitch. And of course, with President Trump, we also have to keep an eye out on his Twitter feed to see what else he's saying to get his supporters out there to make their votes and their voices heard to date.
Now, Patsy, this is an election year unlike any other in recent memory. And typically, candidates go out and have a big celebration at the end of the election day. What can you tell us about what President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden have in store for their respective campaigns tonight?
Yes, that's correct. It's a very different election year than previous years where there's like a big party for both campaign headquarters, no matter what the result is. But this year, it's very scaled down. President Trump will be at the White House. There will be an event at the East Room. So that's going to be an indoor event, of course, creating concerns about the spread of COVID-19. I'm not sure how many people will be in that room tonight. There's going to be some limited journalists present in there. But as far as Joe Biden, he will be in Wilmington, Delaware, his hometown. But Joe Biden does plan to deliver a speech tonight, even though we may not know the results as of yet.
That was VOA White House correspondent Patsy Wittikuswara speaking to me via Microsoft Teams. VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Steve Miller. While Americans and the world watch the U.S. presidential race, the success or failure of the next president's agenda rests on just a handful of Senate races nationwide that polls show tightening the final hours of the election. International Edition's Lori London spoke with VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson on why a president really needs his political party to get things done.
We have a handful of incredibly competitive races nationwide that are going to determine if Democrats can retake control of the majority in the U.S. Senate and really make the case as to whether a reelected President Donald Trump could have a successful second term in office, or if the newly inaugurated President Joe Biden would be able to get his ambitious legislative agenda done. So really, while the occupant of the White House does matter a great deal, who is in control of the U.S. Senate on Capitol Hill also matters a great deal. And it really comes down to a handful of states, Iowa, South Carolina, Georgia, Maine, these places where voters have some choices about going with senators who have aligned their fortunes with Donald Trump or going with their Democratic challengers.
How are the polls looking? Are there some of those states that you mentioned? Are polls leaning either way, or are all the races very close and hard to really predict at this point?
Well, there are some really great organizations here in the United States, nonpartisan organizations that take a look at the polling, that take a look at the situation on the ground, and have this determination where they call them so-called toss-up states, which means that the polling is so close, they can't really determine if the voters there are leaning Republican or leaning Democrat. And so some of those handful of states, Iowa, South Carolina, Maine, Georgia, those are the so-called toss-up states where the polling points are within a couple percentage points and it's really too close to call. So it'll really come down to when voters go into the voting booth and they make that determination about President Trump or Vice President Biden. How do they feel about voting Republican or Democrat all the way down the ticket? That may be a lot of what makes the determination there.
Catherine Gibson is VOA's congressional correspondent, and she was speaking to International Edition's Lori London. Millions of Americans across the United States are preparing for Election Day, and businesses are doing the same. Fears of post-election unrest have prompted offices and shops in many cities, including Washington, to take extra precautions in case planned protests turn violent. VOA Africa's Ayen Deng Bior has more.
The White House Deli, a small sandwich shop just steps from the White House, knows what it's like to be near the epicenter of violent protest in the nation's capital. Ernesto, a staff member at the deli, bore witness to protests that occurred earlier this year.
First thing that we're doing right now, we're trying to close like at the big window because when Floyd passed away, so they broke the window, right?
The deli endured physical property damage when protesters used rocks to shatter the shop's windows. Ernesto says they kept those rocks as a reminder of the protest that shook his work neighborhood in nearby Lafayette Square following the death of George Floyd, an unarmed black man who died earlier this year while in police custody in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Since then, protest and counter-protest have erupted across America, including these recent days leading up to the election. In the eastern state of North Carolina, participants of the I Am Change rally were pepper-sprayed and some were arrested by police in the city of Graham on Saturday. A statement released by police says officers responded with force when the group failed to disperse from a road. But marchers say they obtained permits and had a right to march on the streets. In the eastern state of North Carolina, participants of the I Am Change rally were pepper sprayed and some were arrested by police in the city of Graham on Saturday. A statement released by police says officers responded with force when the group failed to disperse from a road. But marchers say they obtained permits and had a right to march on the streets. According to U.S. media reports, pro-Trump supporters clashed with a group of people in Richmond, Virginia over the weekend. The Richmond Police Department said on Facebook that confrontations arose when a mobile Trump rally entered the city on Sunday. Another incident involving a Joe Biden campaign bus is now under federal investigation after motorists with pro-Trump signs surrounded the bus on a Texas highway, a move seen as an intimidation tactic by Biden supporters. Biden, the Democratic presidential candidate, and his running mate, Kamala Harris, were not on board. President Donald Trump defended the motorist and dismissed those allegations in a Twitter post. Incidents like these are raising concerns that tensions might boil over after the election, prompting business owners to take extra measures to protect their property. Many are boarding up, putting up plywood panels on their windows to protect them from damage. Nitish is the manager of A1 Wines and Liquor.
We are just taking safety precautions because we did get hit last time, and it was almost like two times we got hit. And so at this point, we just don't want to take any chance on getting, you know, something like a disruption.
While employees are planning for the worst, some say violence could complicate an already difficult year.
I feel scared because the situation is it's very difficult. Because, you know, we stopped to work for almost 6 months with the pandemic. So we are scared being on the home again for almost 2 weeks again.
For now, Ernesto says his team is monitoring developments around the Capitol and hopes it remains calm. With Jason Patinkin, I'm Ayen Deng Bior for VOA News, Washington.
Austrian officials said on Tuesday that the perpetrator of an attack in Vienna, Austria, that killed at least 4 people and wounded 15 others, was a sympathizer of the Islamic State terror group. Hurricane Eta, with sustained winds of 233 kilometers per hour, struck Nicaragua's Caribbean coast early Tuesday morning, unleashing heavy rains that stoked fears of deadly floods in the region. A top leader of Thailand's pro-democracy protest is insisting that the student-led movement will not back down from its demands. The movement wants the prime minister to resign, the constitution to be amended to make it more democratic, and the monarchy to be reformed to make its activities more transparent and accountable. And finally, Reuters' Libby Hogan brings us this story of one town coming together to do some good despite the risks of the pandemic.
A team of Sri Lankans raced to save a pod of about 100 whales beached off the country's southwestern coast on Monday. The short-finned pilot whales began to beach themselves just before dusk at Panadura, south of the capital Colombo. Uphill, Ranjit is a fisherman who spotted the whales.
I don't know why this happened. It has never happened before. This is the first time I've seen this. All of them will die by morning.
Men and boys waded into the surf, trying in vain to push and pull the whales back out to sea, ignoring a 24-hour coronavirus curfew. Officials from the Coast Guard and Navy also arrived to help with the rescue, which went on late into the night. But by morning, it was feared that they would likely not survive. It's not clear what caused them to be stranded. The reason why whales beach themselves is largely a mystery to marine scientists. However, whales which travel in pods sometimes beach themselves as they follow a leader and will gather around an injured or distressed whale. Just 2 months ago, several hundred whales also beached themselves in Australia, one of the largest mass strandings ever recorded.
That was Reuters reporter Libby Hogan. You've been listening to International Edition on the Voice of America. On behalf of our entire production team, thank you very much for listening. Be sure to visit our website for in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours a day. You can do so by pointing your web browser on your phone, your tablet, your desktop computer, or any other electronic device to voanews.com. And to get the latest U.S. election news, listen to our top-of-the-hour newscasts on your local VOA affiliate or on our website. Until next time, I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Be well, be safe, and good night.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States continues to push back on Chinese communist propaganda. Most recently, the State Department designated the U.S. operations of six China-based media companies as foreign missions, said Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
They are all substantially owned or effectively controlled by a foreign government. We simply want to ensure that American people, consumers of information, can differentiate between news written by a free press and propaganda distributed by the Chinese Communist Party itself. They're not the same thing.
These six entities designated under the Foreign Missions Act include UK Global, Zhifengzhu Daily, Xinmin Evening News, Social Sciences and China Press, Beijing Review, and Economic Daily as foreign missions. Over the past decade, and particularly under General Secretary Xi Jinping's tenure, the Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, has asserted greater control over China's state-backed propaganda outlets. General Secretary Xi himself has stated, party-owned media must embody the party's will, safeguard the party's authority. Their actions must be highly consistent with the party. While free media around the world are beholden to the truth, PRC media are beholden to the CCP, said State Department spokesperson Morgan Ortegas in a statement. The decision to designate these six entities does not place any restrictions on what these organizations may publish in the United States. It simply recognizes them for what they are, PRC-controlled propaganda outlets. This action follows the June 22nd designation of China Central Television, China News Service, the People's Daily, and the Global Times, and the February 18th designation of Xinhua News Agency, China Global Television Network, China Radio International, China Daily Distribution Corporation, and Haitian Development USA. Entities designated as foreign missions must adhere to certain requirements that increase transparency relating to their associated governments' media activities in the United States. Our goal is to protect the freedom of the press in the United States and ensure the American people know whether their news is coming from the free press or from a malign foreign government, said spokesperson Ortegas. Transparency isn't threatening to those who value truth.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.